be taking our text this evening from the second chapter of Ezekiel's prophecy. Let me say that it is a rare and, in many ways, an awkward feeling honor to be here to address this assembly this evening. My heart is here. My love for this seminary is what it always has been. And it is a great privilege to be here tonight to minister the word to these students, all of whom I've had the privilege of ministering to in one way or another during most of their program. I give congratulations to each of them, to their family, friends that are here to support them as well. I thank Dr. Barrett for the introduction. Sitting there, hearing what he was saying, remembering how much I desired that kind of respect and honor when he was a teenager. So if his growing up and my leaving town is what brought it, then that's good. That's good. But it is a joy to minister the word here this evening. I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, but I will say to each of these three men that are graduating this evening that tonight you end the easiest part of your life. The ministry that you're going into is going to be a hard ministry. I don't know what the ministry will be for you. Don't know all of the details, but I do know that in the day in which we live, the circumstances in which you are going to be ministering the Word of God, in many ways, a very fearful thing. And my prayers are for you. And my desire is that the hand of God and the power of God be upon you, that as you take up this ministry in this very pagan society in which we live, that you will know what it is to have a very important part in the advancing of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. And I trust that the meditation that we have for these few moments this evening will be an encouragement to you. I'm coming to a text in Ezekiel chapter 2 that you may remember is a text that we, I think, worked on together in Hebrew exegesis. But again, perhaps I'm thinking too highly of my teaching that you remember anything that was actually said. But there's a text I call that we worked on together. And in thinking of the word to bring on this occasion, I kept coming back to what in many ways is a very important paradigm for ministry. Ezekiel was ministering in a day that is much like the day in which we're ministering. He served under a pagan government. He served at a time when religion was a curiosity to many, a time when religion was ridiculed by most and rejected by really the entirety of society. A day, I say, that is very much like the day in which you are going to be ministering the Word of God. But as we come to this text as a paradigm for ministry, let me begin reading in the middle of verse 28 of chapter 1. Ezekiel has, at the commencement of his ministry, just perhaps a little older than what you men are right now by just a very little bit, the Lord showed him a magnificent vision of himself and called him into the prophetic ministry. And after that vision, we have these words in the middle of verse 28 of chapter 1. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. And as we come to these closing moments of this important night in your lives and ministry, I want to leave just a few thoughts that give us a pattern for the ministry that every gospel minister should follow. But one I think that is particularly significant for you as you're embarking now upon the new ministry that God has for you. Ezekiel was now just being freshly called into this prophetic ministry. And at the very beginning, God gave him a word, defining for him, describing for him what his ministry was to be like. And I say it is the pattern that we and you are to follow. We see something, first of all, of the motive. And why we do what we do is always a key thing. For God looks at the heart. God knows our thought. God knows what drives us and what motivates us. And the motive of the ministry is absolutely crucial. I think you know enough about the ministry to realize that this is not the job to be in if you're expecting to get rich. It's not the job to be in if your goal is just to have public acclaim. That cannot be your motive. If it is, you're going to be very quickly and sorely disappointed. But what strikes me unmistakably here, that what drove Ezekiel to the ministry that God had for him was the sight of Christ. He had the vision, a vision of strange things, of mysterious creatures, of wheels moving round within wheels. But on that chariot throne, high above that chariot throne, he saw one like unto the Son of Man. He saw the one who was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who we believe, because he saw that representation of God, to be a very sight of Christ himself. And it was with that sight of Christ that, first of all, he fell upon his face in abject humility, in worship, in adoration. And what else could he do? To see the glory of the Lord, to see the beauty of the Savior, ought to bring you to the very depths of humiliation. Why is it that one that is so glorious and one that is so majestic and grand and good would call you into his ministry and to his service? To see the wonder of Christ is going to bring us to the very end of ourselves, going to bring us to that place of worship. So the motive to serve him, and it is not without significance, that when you see through the Scripture those that God revealed himself to, whenever men had a sight of the glory of God, whenever men had a sight of the glory of Christ, there was always a telling message that they had for men. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, "Who shall I send? Send me. I've seen the Lord, and now I have something that I want to declare to others." Here's Ezekiel. He saw the Lord, and now he has a telling message for others. John on the Isle of Patmos, having seen the wonder and the glory of the exalted Christ, fell upon his face as dead. There's the worship once again. But the Lord instructed him and gave him a word of ministry for others. And as you see Christ, and as you become overwhelmed with his beauty and his goodness and his grace, his power and his majesty, as that grips your heart and soul, it is going to evidence itself in the message that you give to others. Let serving Christ, let the sight of Christ be that which drives you in the ministry. We learn something also of the mandate. We have the call and the promise that God had given to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was flat on his face in worshiping the Lord. But we have in the beginning of chapter 2 now the command to stand up. That the worship was not to breed passivity. The worship was not to bring inactivity, but no, the Lord had something for him to do, and now we have the call, we have the command that God gives to him, "Stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." But with that command and with that call to stand up and to be engaged in the ministry that was going to be before him, we have also the accompanying promise of God. A promise of power and a promise of the presence of God. The command, "Stand upon thy feet." And I love the language that we have been in verse 2. The command, "Stand upon thy feet," and the Spirit entered when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. But the word that the Authorized Version translates as "set" is the same word that is translated "stand" in verse 1. The rest of you can listen for a moment, but I'm going to speak to my Hebrew students. The command is in the cal, and the Spirit setting him up is in the hephil. If I had confidence that you remembered what you were supposed to remember, I'd go to my next point. But I'm going to explain. What a beautiful expression here. "Stand up." And literally, the Spirit stood him up. The Spirit stood him up. The command, "Do this." But how can I? I've seen the greatness of the Lord. I've seen the glory. I'm falling on my face before it. What else can I do? "Stand up," the Lord said. But not to worry. Here is the promise now of the Spirit empowering and the Spirit enabling to do what God commanded him to do. Stand up, and the Spirit caused him to stand. The Spirit enabled him to stand. The Spirit stood him up. And we have that amazing promise here. Becomes a trite expression, I suppose, that God never commands what he doesn't enable. But I suppose it's become a trite statement because it is so commonly true in the Scripture. Here's the power of God that will enable you to do what God has called you to do. He's called you to minister. You see your weakness and you see your insignificance. You see your insufficiency. And Ezekiel was conscious of that. Over and again, he's referred to here as the Son of Man. That particular expression that highlights the weakness and the humility and the inability and the insufficiency of man. That's what he was. But here's the promise of the power of God. The promise of the Spirit of God to empower and to enable you to do what God has called you to do. There are going to be aspects of your ministry that are going to seem to be impossible. Who is sufficient for these things? And you're not. You're the Son of Man. But here's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God that empowers, that enables the servant of God to do what God calls him to do. The Spirit stood him up. Rely upon that spiritual power, for it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, that the work of the ministry is going to be accomplished. But you have the promise of presence as well. For the Lord sends him out. The Lord sends him out. Verse 3, "The said unto me, Son of Man, I send thee to the children of Israel." I'm sending you. And I say we have something here of the presence of God. And again, may I presume to think that you remember something in Hebrew. So I'll speak technically here just for a moment. God sends him out in the cow and not in the PL. Now, if you remember your vocabulary, and I know, Andrew, that's perhaps asking too much at this point. One form of the verb has the idea of sending out on a commission. That's the cow. The peel has the idea of sending out and kicking out. The Lord is not saying, I'm going to kick you out and leave you alone. I'm not going to send you out there and abandon you. No, the very form of the verb here, the Lord, I'm going to be with you. There's a constant relationship here that you will know as you go out and do what I tell you to do. Put that in terms of the Great Commission. What does Christ tell us to do? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. But what was his promise? Lo, I'm with you always. You're going to be out there. And you're going to be in the midst of a hard situation. But as I send you, there's the promise of the divine presence. And never forget that. The Lord will not leave you. The Lord will not forsake you. And if indeed he has called you, he will accompany you, having enabled you to do what he has commanded. So we learn something of the mandate. But there's something here also of the message. What is it that Ezekiel was to preach? We have it summed up for us in those far-reaching word at the end of verse 4. You just say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. That's all you have to worry about. Just say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. We've heard tonight the goal and the mission of Geneva Reformed Seminary to bring men to the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to rest on the authority of the Word of God, to know how to proclaim that Word of God. You have heard me say more than once to you in the classes that we've had together that our ultimate objective is to get from the text of Scripture to this pulpit with authority. And the authority is as you preach, thus saith the Lord. You have the declaration of that. It's interesting when you see this book of the scroll, this scroll that the Lord shows to him at the end of chapter 2. Here's this book. Here's this book. It's written on both sides. Got lamentations, mourning, and woe. Tough message, but it's written on both sides. That was unusual. It was typically for the practice, if you have these scrolls, just to write on one side. You know how scrolls work, right? You pull it out, and it was You couldn't flip it over too easily, so the writing was typically just on the one side. But here, a scroll that is written on this side, on that side. And I think the message is very, very clear here. There's no room for anything else but God's Word. And as you stand behind this pulpit, and as you minister to people that the Lord will give you, wherever that may be, your only authority as you proclaim, thus saith the Lord. There's no room for your opinions. There's no room for your own agenda. There's no room for your own thoughts. Your authority is as you preach, thus saith the Lord. Again, you've been around me long enough to know that I've got opinions. I've got opinions on many, many things. And if you don't agree with me on those opinions, you're wrong. Bottom line. My opinions, I can say with all confidence, are better than yours. They are better than yours. But, and I admit this, if it is simply my opinion, although my opinion I know for a fact is better than yours, if it doesn't agree, is no less authoritative. There's no authority in my opinions. There's no authority in my imaginations. The authority that I have as a minister of the Word of God, of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, is I stand and I have my hand on this text of Scripture, and this is the Word of God. Like it or don't like it, but it's God's Word. There's no place in the pulpit. There's no place in the pulpit to spout your own thoughts. There's no place in the pulpit to give your own ideas and to set forth your own agenda. Your message is this book. And I trust you've learned enough in these years that you've been here to know how to divide this book correctly, how to interpret it correctly, how to proclaim it with power. But that's the word. The declaration, that's the message. The declaration of the Word of God. But you have the assimilation of it as well. For here's this scroll that was shown to him, and now in chapter 3, the Lord says, eat it. Eat this roll. Eat this scroll. Assimilate it to yourself. I don't know how eating works. I know the mechanics of eating. I understand that. But I don't know what happens to all that stuff that you eat. It turns into the vitamins and the whatever it is that we need, the nutriments, right, to some process. You eat and you assimilate what it is you eat. It becomes part and parcel of your very being. And that's the idea here. Here's the Word of God. Eat it. Eat it. Assimilate it to yourself. Assimilate it to yourself. You can only give to others. You can only minister to others from what yourself have taken in. I know we live in a day where we lament the shallowness of preaching. And we live in a day where there is a lot of shallow preaching. But what a terrible thought that is. If that's what's going out, then what in the world is going into that minister that stands behind the book? You learn this book. There's no way in the years that you have been here that we have taught you everything that you need to know for the ministry. No way. I hope we have put a love in your heart for the Word of God, for the Christ of the book, and have put within your heart a desire to study this book and to learn this book and to read this book, to eat this book, to assimilate the message of this book, so that when you stand up and preach to others, they'll know that you've been with Jesus. They'll know that you've met with the Lord. They know that what you are proclaiming then is, thus saith the Lord. May God help you to stick to the message. We see something of the mission field. And the Lord didn't mince any words here. I'm going to put you right in the midst of briars and thorns and scorpions. You're going to minister to a world of rebels. You're going to be ministering into a world that is characterized by this obstinate wickedness. It was not a happy congregation to which Ezekiel was going to be preaching. People, I say, that ridicule the things of God. Oh, they were curious. They would come to Ezekiel, hey, you got anything for us? But no real interest. Rebels, obstinate in their wickedness. And I suppose even the best of congregations will have a touch of that because we all come from Adam. It's going to be a hard. It's going to be a hard road for you to hold, as they say. People very often to your face will say one thing, behind your back will say something else. Attacked. Pricked by those thorns and briars. Stung by those scorpions. Get ready for it. It's going to happen. One way or another. It's the nature of the work. But that brings us finally to the method. How do we go about this? There are three things very quickly. Be fearless. Be fearless. Don't be afraid of them. Several times in those verses, the Lord says, don't be afraid of them. But wait a minute, they're scorpions. Hey, fine, don't be afraid of them. There's scary things out there. Yeah, I know, but don't be afraid of them. Be fearless. And the only way that you are not going to allow the scorpions to scare you is to fear the Lord. Be more aware of God and His promise and His presence that you know by faith, that you experience by faith. You see the scorpions and you feel the briars and the thorns, but be fearless. Get your eyes off of them and you must speak my words. Doesn't matter how they respond. They may hear. They may forbear. Don't be looking at how they respond. But you must. You must. Just speak my words. Be faithful, therefore. That's the faithfulness. Be faithful. Don't be measuring how you're doing by outward responses. In the Lord's hands. Whether they hear, whether they forbear, whether they reject it or whether they accept it, you be faithful so at least they know that a prophet's been here. A man of God has been here. May not like what he said. May not agree with what he said. May reject what he said. But you be such a fearless and a faithful man that they'll know that you're a prophet of God. And be unaffected. Be unaffected. See that at verse 8. Thou son of man, hear what I say. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. They're rebellious. They're going to be obstinate. But don't you be like them. Don't you be like them. It is always easiest. It's always the natural response to respond in kind. You want a kind word from me? Give me a kind word. You want a short word from me? Then you speak that way to me. We tend to respond in kind. Don't do that. Don't do that. They're going to be rebellious, but don't you be like the people that you minister to. You be like Christ. You be like that one that has overwhelmed you in the opening of the vision here, and I trust in every day of your experience. You be like him. You be like him. I commit this word to you. We're not prophets, as Old Testament men were prophets, but we are those that have a call of God to stand and proclaim and declare. Nothing else but thus saith the Lord. I commend it to you, and I trust that we'll all be hearing in days to come. The Lord's hand has been upon you, and that He's using you well in the power of His Spirit to advance the glory of His kingdom and His church. Mark, Andrew, Tim, may God bless you. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we commend these men into the hands of an Almighty God. We give thanks for the calling that they have testified to. And we pray that as they go now from this occasion into the life of ministry, that they would do so in the confidence of that call, in the assurance of the power of the Spirit and the presence of God, and have the boldness always to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.